The thing that I really feel that God is wanting to minister into our hearts today is a greater revelation for each of us, no matter where we're at with this, of what it means to be a son or daughter of God. And just for those who don't know, this term, our theme is looking at the gospel. And gospel is an old English word for good news. And so when Jesus came and he was preaching the good news, what did that mean? What was it that made it such good news? And so we're going to be exploring that in detail over these next few months. In a way, those of you who've been around for the last few weeks, we've already been exploring it. The first week back, I was talking about hope. And that is such a key part of the gospel, is that hope comes. And we're going to be looking at that even greater detail, the whole thing of hope. Diana's going to be taking us through. Last week, if you were at River Together, I was talking about the kind of different things that for River as a whole that we're going for, kind of our aims of community, looking on the face of Christ, loving everyone we meet, and living like heaven is near. And last week at River Together, I just explored, what does it mean to live like heaven is near? And, you know, Jesus's key message was the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom. You know, Jesus went around preaching, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand, or is near, or has arrived, depending on which translation you look at. And what does that mean? And so if you weren't there last week and you want to find out more about that, you can listen to the talk online. But the key thing being in that talk is that Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. And tied up in that word of repentance is to change the way we think, to look at things from a different perspective, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so we look at life circumstances through that heavenly perspective. And once we get into that place of, you know, it talks in Romans about being transformed by the renewing of the mind. I love that verse. I say it often, unashamedly, because it's so key. Be transformed. We all want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, we need God to heal our hearts from hurts and pains. And we also need to partner with him in renewing our minds to agree with what he says, to agree with what heaven is saying, rather than agreeing with what the world around us says or what the devil says, all of that kind of thing, that there is an action that we can take to agree with God's word. Which is a good thing, isn't it? We don't have to be passive. I want to encourage you not to be passive. I want to encourage you to be proactive in agreeing with God's word, agreeing what heaven says, agreeing with a heavenly perspective. And if you're not sure what that is, then just read the New Testament. It's a good place to start. You'll have find plenty there to agree with. So that's kind of what I was talking about last week, which is a key part of the gospel, is the kingdom of God has arrived. The rule of God, all the good things that God brings, it has arrived. And as we change our perspective to believe that, that the Holy Spirit is living inside of me, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of me. Therefore, when I am faced with a situation, I tackle it from a heavenly perspective. So we know that the world still has evil in it. It still suffers from the consequences of sin. But the good news is, which Jesus came to proclaim, the kingdom of God has arrived. Therefore, as people say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them. They now have a new authority to bring that kingdom rule to the earth of goodness. And everything else that we can possibly think of. Good things happen. We can go into dark situations and bring light into the most desperate, hurting situation. We are good news for that because the Spirit of God is living inside of us and we can bring the kingdom of God into those situations. Yay! And so my passion for myself and my passion for you is that we would really know these truths, believe them completely in our hearts and walk in them. Because when we do, when the church does that, our church here and the church generally in the world, then awesome things happen, which bring so much good stuff to the people around us. And so let's go for it. So a key part of this revelation for us is knowing our identity as sons and daughters. And I know we've spoken about it often, but I just feel that the Holy Spirit wants to bring it again to us because there's more revelation. And I'm just learning to go with what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying rather than what I think he should say. Does that make sense? Not that I've always endeavored to do that, but I feel even more bold and encouraged to go with the things that God wants to bring to us. And so just want you to go with me in your Bibles to Romans 8. So Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. This is the key passage that I want us to get into us today. So Romans is like what many people would say about Romans is, you know, it's towards the end of Paul's ministry in some respects. So it's his mature understanding of what the gospel is. So if you read through Romans, that's what you're going to get. You know, sometimes Romans is really difficult to get your head around because you're like, great, I don't fully understand that. Has anyone ever had that problem reading Romans? Yep. So, but I encourage you to read it and take it in bit by bit and just ask the Holy Spirit to bring a revelation to you because there are so many wonderful things in the book of Romans. So chapter 8, verse 14, and I'm going to read it from the New Testament for Everyone version. And it says, all who are led by the Spirit of God, you see, are God's children. Just before I carry on, I just want to say that in the verses previous to that, you know, it talks about, and we also see this in Ephesians, what I was talking about earlier, where when you say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And it's like a deposit saying, this one is mine. This is my child. And so when it's talking about being led by the Spirit, we're talking about the fact that the Spirit of God is inside of us. Therefore, we are God's children. So all who are led by the Spirit of God, you see, are God's children. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery, did you? To go back again into a state of fear. But you received the spirit of sonship, in whom we call out, Abba, Father. When that happens, it is the Spirit itself giving supporting witness to what our own spirit is saying, that we are God's children. And if we're children, we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with the Messiah, as long as we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Great passage. So, you know, in this passage, it's referring to the Spirit of God, and it's also referring to our own spirits, so that, you know, we're all made up of body, emotions, and spirits. And it's talking about how the Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. And that Spirit that has come inside of us is not a spirit of slavery. It's not something that brings fear with it. It is a spirit of sonship. That is the Spirit that is in living inside of you. Is a spirit of sonship. And I'm sure most of you know this, but I just want to say it just in case. The reason the Bible uses the word son is not because it's being, sexist against women. It's because in that culture, the sons were the ones who inherited everything. But this sonship is available for all of us. So I just wanted to clarify that. So Emma has the spirit of sonship inside of her. Therefore, this is going to change the way she sees herself and the way she thinks about herself, the way she goes about her life. The thing is, even though the Spirit of God is living inside of us, that's a done deal, and that naturally changes things, there is something where we cooperate with that and choose to believe that, renew our minds. So I may have the Spirit of God living inside of me, but maybe in some areas of my life, I'm not living in that spirit of sonship. I'm actually living in a spirit of slavery, which brings fear with it. And that is a really dangerous place to live, but many of us find ourselves living in that because we don't realize that that's what's going on. So, you know, this will mean different things for each of us individually. And so I'm just going to share some stuff, but I'm believing the Holy Spirit will make it real to you personally, because this is an individual thing for what it means for you, your life experiences, and what's happening in your life right now. There are lies that maybe we believe which are taking us away from living in the spirit of sonship through experiences that have happened to us. And, you know, as we're sitting here, just believing the Holy Spirit will reveal those to us so that we can leave them behind. But, you know, when you're living not as a son or daughter, but as a slave, nothing's ever good enough. We never feel good enough within ourselves. We always feel like we have to strive to be something better, strive to please God, strive to please other people. You know, there can be a lot of fear around our lives, fear of what's going to happen, fear of what other people will think. All of that kind of stuff, fear of who God thinks that we are. But when we're living in a spirit of sonship, that stuff goes away. We're free to be ourselves. Even if we're not perfect, that's okay. There's a freedom that comes. There's a freedom of knowing that God is our Heavenly Father and we can trust Him with our lives and that He's working for our good in situations. So instead of worrying about things out of fear, we have peace in our lives of knowing that the goodness of God is going to come through for us. You know, as like I've, you know, in the last few weeks, God has personally to me been giving me more revelation on this whole area. And I've mentioned before, I think, maybe not the journey, maybe last week at River Together, that across River, the central team and congregation leaders and deputies, we're doing this leadership course with Bethel Church, which is looking at different cultures that will sustain revival, a move of God, like developing a church around these cultures. And it's really very amazing, and really we're all loving it. And the culture this month is the whole culture of family, which is so key, because that's what we are, isn't it? As a church, we are family. And so in that, it's looking at the whole thing of being sons and daughters, and there's been various talks and things about it. So God has been very, really, like, speaking to me about this whole thing. And I've been realizing things in my life where I thought I was sorted on this, but I'm realizing that I'm not sorted. And God's been showing me some things that have happened in my life, which I just didn't think anything of, just had got on with them, and, you know, but God has been showing me how damaging some circumstances in my life have been to me, and how that's affected my view of how I see myself as a daughter and affected my view of God. And I didn't even realize they were there. And so, you know, that sometimes when you position yourself for God to speak to you in certain ways, God shows you things. You're like, oh, that's interesting. Didn't know that was there. But yet there's a greater freedom that comes in that. And so, you know, just want to encourage you to engage with God for yourself about what this means for you personally. So I just share one aspect that God's been showing me for myself with this whole thing, is God was showing me that in the area of provision, I wasn't being like a daughter. So I explained to you in that I was seeing myself as the one who had to provide, rather than trusting in God's provision. Now, it's hard to try and explain this, because I'm not saying in this that therefore no one should go to work and get a job and we should just wait passively for money to come. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an attitude of heart. So although I'm like really privileged to be paid to be a church leader, and it's a great blessing, and so I've got what I need, but there was an area of fear, and I think there still is, I haven't quite dealt with it, in my heart around provision and worrying about money and worrying about things running out, even though that's not necessarily the reality of my life, but just that kind of fear. And so God was showing me that that was because I wasn't like living under my sonship, living as a daughter in that. I was looking to myself to be the provider rather than trusting in God. And that when I position myself as a daughter under God in that and trust Him for my provision, then fear goes. So hopefully that makes sense. It's hard to explain something sometimes when it's been a deep heart revelation, but there could be areas in your life where the Holy Spirit will put His finger on, where you're not living as a son or daughter in that area, living under fear and relying upon yourself, where God wants to change your perspective in that, that brings greater freedom. So I just want to summarize what I've said. I'm only doing a short preach. And then I want to give us time to like reflect on this for ourselves. So in summary, and I want to encourage you all to explore this more for yourselves, not just now, but in the week. And particularly for those of you who come into the junction, if God is bringing stuff up and you would like someone to pray it through with you more, or you'd like to do a play of life, if you don't know what that means, come speak to me or Ruth. Little people, yeah. Yeah. Linda developed the word little people. The unofficial word. But that you, it's using Playmobil for those of you who don't know. And it can be really helpful to like hearing God into different situations and stuff that's going on in our hearts. But we'll give you opportunities over the weekend to make those appointments to explore some things in greater detail. So I encourage you, if some God's stirring something up, to take the opportunity to do that. But in summary, what I want to say is it's important for us all to explore in greater detail what does it mean to be a son or daughter, to do what we can to make sure our hearts are healed up so that any disappointments or pains from things that have happened to us, lies that we've believed because of that, that that's healed up so that we have the best opportunity to be who God's created us to be, sons and daughters, healed up, walking in that confidence of who we are in that position under God. Then alongside of that, as well as the healing, it's about renewing our minds, that we would make those choices to agree with what God's word is saying, what's heaven saying, however you want to put it. And we would view life circumstances, wherever we find ourselves, from that heavenly perspective. You know, for example, with the provision thing that I was talking about, what God was showing me this week was, if I see a situation of need, rather than thinking, oh no, there's no money, what are we going to do? Thinking, God is my provider, where is the provision? So I'm looking for the provision rather than in fear about the lack. So it's like that kind of change in perspective where I completely believe and trust that God is provider for situations, and therefore I look for the provision and I don't come at it just expecting lack and, oh no, what are we going to do, and working out a plan based on lack rather than working on a plan basing on believing God is the provider, therefore he will give wisdom as to how to deal with that situation. It might be in a totally creative way that I haven't seen, but there is provision there. And so it's like changing the way that we see, agreeing with heaven, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, taking captive every thought to put it into the obedience of Christ, all of that stuff. So it's son or daughter, getting healed up, renewing our minds, and seeing ourselves as co-heirs with Christ. Wow, we are co-heirs with Christ. There's so much to it that I just know for myself, I've only tipped the iceberg of what that means. That I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Everything that he accomplished on the cross, he has done for me to walk in the authority of that and to bring that to the people around me. And so that's the next thing that I want to say as well, is it's about understanding the authority and the inheritance that we have because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. So it's simple things that we've probably said many, many times before, but I know that we don't get it yet. I don't get it yet. You know, once we get it, things are going to change for us and around us in a big way. And so there's an invitation to greater revelation in it. We all get it to a certain degree, but there's greater revelation in that. I'm going to do something which I don't ever do on a Sunday, but I just feel to do it. Has anyone got any questions they want to ask about what I just said? I know we never do this, and I have never done it before, but I just feel to do it. Don't be scared. I think it will be different things for different people according to what's going on. But obviously there's like getting the Bible verses about God as provider and just soaking in them and declaring it over your life. One thing we've been learning as well on this leadership course is the whole thing of declarations, which I just want to encourage everyone to get into because it's so amazing. I've sent some of them to some people who have been talking to you about them. And basically, it's part of using our authority as sons and daughters of God is, you know, it's use these particular declarations that we're doing. It's like using different Bible verses and then declaring it over our lives. So one of the declarations is, I declare that God will richly supply all my needs. And, you know, that's obviously a verse from Philippians, but as you're speaking it out, it's something about your belief system. Instead of believing the lie, it's lining up to the truth and speaking it out. And I find that as I've been doing this over this last couple of weeks, that such faith has been rising in me and my mindset has begun to change in lots of different areas as I'm just speaking this truth over my life. So I think declarations, meditating on scripture is really important. Every time God provides, no matter how small it is, remember it, write it down, celebrate. So you're remembering what God is doing. You're celebrating that. You know, if a fear of provision is because of things that have happened in the past or maybe lies that therefore you've come to believe, then, you know, maybe getting someone to pray with you about that or asking the Holy Spirit, are there lies that I believe in this situation that you want to set me free from? So that's part of it as well. And just asking God for wisdom, because what I've realized is with provision, I expect God to provide me in this certain way. And if he doesn't do it that way, I think he hasn't provided. But actually, sometimes maybe God wants to do it in a slightly different way. So it's actually partnering with him in that wisdom, that creative way that he may be providing in a different way. And just because it's not happening exactly how I envisioned it, then sometimes we miss what God is doing. So I'm sure there's way more to it than that, but it's just a few little ideas. So just want to finish off of just going to lead you guys, if you would like to join in, feel free, just through a little God spaces thing. So lots of you will have done this before. But if you just close your eyes, if you want to do this, and just connect with where God is for you right now. So where's God for you right now? Is he at your left, at your right, in front of you, behind you, above you, below you, all around you, or inside of you? Just trust what your instincts are as we're doing this. Try not to worry too much. Am I making it up? And when you're in that place where God is for you, how's that for you? And I'm just going to ask God a question, which believe that he will give you the answer to. So you might want to speak to the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. So Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what lie am I believing about who I am as a son or daughter, or who you are as a father and mother? Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what is the truth instead of this lie? And as God is showing you these lies or answer the truth, if you just, you know, in your own way before God, maybe just repent of believing the lies, just break off those lies from your life and just declare that you're going to believe the truth that God has shown you instead. And you might want to write it down. You might want to just tell a friend about it, pray it through together. But this is the kind of thing that we can each do ourselves with God. For some of us, maybe the lie that we were shown was quite like surprising and a bit hard to take. And I just encourage you just to explore it more, maybe if there's more stuff, maybe there's hurt that God wants to heal around it. I also feel that for some of us, maybe our experience could be with our earthly parents or other key people in our lives, they didn't talk to us about things weren't talked about, and so we haven't had a framework as we were growing up to know how to talk about deep things in our hearts. And so because of that, for some of us, we've closed off certain areas of our hearts, and the Holy Spirit in his gentle ways wanting to come in and just help us with that. For some of us, we're feeling really There could be deep anger inside of us, or bitterness, something that kind of taunts us and we just don't know what to do with it. And it's actually coming from that place of repressed things that we haven't dealt with because we've not known how to throughout our lives. And I just feel that for people who find themselves in that position, that the Holy Spirit is wanting to come and really help us in that. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to speak to someone that you really trust and say, yeah, that's me, even though even that itself might be hard to actually say that. And to get help in that, because repressed anger and bitterness will just eat away at us, and there's freedom from it. It might be a difficult journey to walk to start with, but once we get to the end of it, we'll be glad that we made that leap. And so, if that's you, for some people, it might be one thing that happened to us that we've never spoken about because it's so hard to. Could be that as well. But if that's you, I just encourage you to respond by speaking to someone about that's what's happening for you, because there's new freedom. So yeah, Lord, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in us. Just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you that we have each other to do this together, Lord. And Lord, I just pray just your hand of protection over everybody here. Continue the work in our hearts, and that we just know that safety under you as our Heavenly Fathers, that we don't need to live under fear, but we can live under that total acceptance that you give us. Just pray your blessing over everyone here. Amen.